Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All right, we've been talking a little bit about being sold out to God, because that was the word that came forth at the end of 2013, summer 29, 2013. There's another word here that I like also. It was September 6, 2006. It says, "Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost as something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm I gather you unto myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does to the blood. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord." So the same measure that we give ourselves to God's word, what he said here in his written word, and also the words that he gives to us personally, which agree with his word. He's not going to give you something flaky out there, right? Something crazy that doesn't agree with his word. If he gives you something, you're going to find somewhere that's going to confirm something from his word. In other words, he may say, "Hey, he may call you to a certain area or a certain place, you know, but it's to preach the gospel." Well, we know where to go in all the world and preach the gospel, right? We know that's of the word of God. It's not separate from his word. It's the same as his word. It may be in a certain place or a certain area. That personal word to us, or the call of God on your life. Well, he's not going to call you to be a monkey. You know, that'd be ridiculous. You know, some people think they're dogs. Well, we're supposed to bark like dogs, but I don't see it in the Bible. Anywhere, ever. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's not, you know... One guy says, the Holy Ghost is not flaky. He's not weird. He's not confused. And sometimes we try to, you know, I think we put our own interpretation. Sometimes people put their own interpretation on what he's saying. And I'm not making fun. It's just, you know, anybody, it could happen to any person. But that's why we have the Word of God as a sure guide. The thing that has been settled, it causes us to become fully complete in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Everything we need is right here in this Bible. It is life. Jesus said in John 17:17, what did he say? "Sanctify them with thy word." No, the word is, this word is truth. And that truth comes and sets men free. It doesn't bind them up or cause them to be bound to a legalistic way of thinking. Sometimes we do get caught. And there are times, you know, that I think that because of experience or because of how we've been taught by over the last 40, 50, 60, 70 years that we've been alive, and some maybe a little longer, but you know, there's sometimes we get ourselves in this box, you know. Well, this is what God wants, you know, because this is what I'm called to do, and I can't get out of my, you know, I'm chained to that box. I'm stuck in that box. And there are times I think God wants to think us to think outside that box. He wants us to move beyond what we thought before. Because what we thought before was limiting him. Because like Pastor Dave says, we listened to limited men who had limited men who had limited men. And now we're limited men. But when we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and get the Word of God on the inside of us, we become rooted and grounded and built up and strong. Amen? Hallelujah. But we're going to have to choose to be sold out to Him. Amen? If we're going to be a sold out one, which we heard the first year, it says, what I hear this afternoon in prayer, this year coming up, 2014, is the year where we sell out to Him. There's going to be great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center, with good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. It's the year of selling out to Him. Whatever His will is, I don't live to myself anymore. That is 1 Corinthians 7. Hold on. 1 Corinthians, yeah. 7. We're right here in 7:23. Yeah. It says, you are bought with a price. Be you not servants of men. You're bought with a price. That means we don't belong to ourselves. We're not to serve man, but we're to serve God, right? How do we be a servant of men when what men says, or what men's idea is, becomes more important to us than what God is saying? You know, sometimes we want to please a person when God says, this is what I want you to do. And sometimes there's some sacrifices in seeking after God as far as the natural things of life. I mean, you know, you might miss a funeral sometime, or you might miss a birthday party. You know, I knew one minister, he was never home on his wife's birthday. Never. God had given him certain instructions, and every year he was trying to get home on her birthday, but it never worked out. And she talked about it. She said, God's grace is not greater. God's grace is greater than that price. You know, at first she said it bothered me. Then I realized, hey, God has an agenda. God has a plan. When we're following after His plan, and when someone's following after the Lord, she said, I'm going with Him. You know, does it really matter if I celebrate my birthday on my birthday? You know, is it that important? You know, and so maybe later on it did, you know, happen. You know, but I want us to see that that's the choice. He will love you. God's going to go with you. You're going to go to heaven no matter what you choose. If you're born again, right? Once you're born again and you really, most people do love God that are born again. But it's a choice that we have to make if we want to be sold out to Him. If we really want to know Him and to know His ways, say, Father, I want to walk like Jesus walked. I want to be conformed, not to the image of a man, not to man's idea, not to denomination idea, or what this church teaches me, or even maybe what Pastor Dave said, but I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I want to be conformed to what Jesus said and who He is based on the Word of God. And I'm not saying anything that, you know, Pastor Dave says all the right things because he's preaching from the Word of God. But sometimes I think, you know, we can't put any man above God. Amen? Any man. I don't care how great they are. I don't care how many miracles they had. You know, miracles is not what makes a person great. God's doing the miracles that makes God great, right? You know, amen, hallelujah, it makes Him great. They know they're not, you know, they're certainly not. Well, I just got it by grace. Well, praise the Lord, they received it. We need to rejoice in that. Well, their motives are wrong. Well, Paul said, even if they have, whether by false motives or true, Christ is preached, and we're to rejoice. Hallelujah. Jesus is being preached. But it's a decision that we each have to choose. And we say, well, we talked a little bit about this morning the importance and of the Word of God being our foundation, being our sure guide. Amen. Because when we have the Word of God in us, that's, you know, our mind is not going to be confused with what we see in the world. A lot of people right now in the church world, even because they don't know the Word of God, they can be swayed easily. You know, that's why we're supposed to have, you know, pastors and teachers and evangelists and so forth, gifts to the body. What? For the perfecting and for the maturing of the saints, so that they're not tossed by every wind of doctrine, so that we're not thrown out when the wind of life comes. We stand. And part of that responsibility is upon each of us to take that word and put it into our life, to allow it to be built. Let's look at Colossians, just chapter 2 right now. I hope all this comes together here. Hallelujah, it will. Holy Spirit, you're in charge. Thank you, Lord. All right, right on. Thank you, Jesus. We're right on. Hallelujah, come on. Here we go. Colossians chapter 2. Let's start at the 6th verse. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Woo. I just realized, you know, we're to be abounding therein, not with grumbling and complaining, but with thanksgiving in Him. If we're going to be rooted and built up, rooted, you know, if you ever planted a tree, my father was a nurseryman, and he grew trees, but also we did landscaping and so forth, so we planted a lot of trees. And we do landscaping for different size jobs, some large, some smaller. But how many know, you know, so when we planted that tree, if we planted the tree, it was guaranteed for 1 year to live. You know, it'd be alive that year. Well, why is that guarantee there? Because we're believing that that tree is going to take root. The roots are going to go down. It's going to, you know, because we planted it correctly. And most of the time that does. But sometimes there's a shock, you know, in that, you know, when you uproot something and put it somewhere else, there can be a shock involved. You know, and sometimes when we are rooted, but we got to get rooted, sink our roots into Christ. Not necessarily a certain kind of church. Not that we shouldn't go to church. We should. We need to assemble together. But we need to allow our roots to be rooted in Christ. And the job of the church is supposed to be get us conformed to the image of Christ. Not necessarily what we think the image of the church should be. You know, well, we're the seeker-friendly church. You know, or whatever kind of church they want to have. Well, that's called man's way of doing things. That's not Christ's way, is it? He said, come after me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Forsaking what? All. In other words, putting all in proper perspective. Forsaking, putting it in proper perspective. Whether it be your wife, your children, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your family members. It's not that we don't love them. He doesn't want us to ignore them. If I become like Christ, I'm going to be a better husband. You know, but you don't go to someone else to say, well, you don't go to your family and say, well, I'm thinking about really selling out to God. What do you think? You know, they're saying, well, what does that mean to us? Well, it means we might not be able to make it to your birthday next year or whatever it is, you know. But it may mean, you know, that we're able to pray and seek God and see change in your life. You know, and sometimes people say, well, I don't know. I mean, you got to be here every Sunday, you know, that's what we do. We have all our events on Sunday. Say, well, that's when I go to church. But is it more important for me? You know, I'm not saying you can never leave one service to go and visit your family, but, you know, if that becomes more important, you know. Sometimes people buy a boat. I thought about it. You know, I used to want a boat when I was younger. I thought, well, get a boat, you know. Then I realized I got to take care of the boat. I got to store the boat. I got to wax the boat, and then I got to use the boat. Then I got to clean it again. You know, I thought, man, it'd be a lot cheaper for me just to rent the boat, you know, let somebody else do all that, right? Or let them, like Jesus did, borrow a boat, right? That'd be even better, wouldn't it? But, I mean, for my life, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a boat, but you got to think about the cost, you know, and then every weekend, well, I couldn't make it, I'm sorry, I didn't make the service, you know, we're using our boat, summertime, we're on the lake every weekend. Because we love the water. And it's important to my family. That's our family day. Well, what's wrong with coming to church? You know? Amen. You know, when my wife and I got married, it wasn't like, are we going to church today? You know? We already made the decision. We're going to church today. It's Sunday. Or whatever day of the week. You know, we're meeting or Wednesday night. And I know that God knows some people are in school or you're working and so forth. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about being committed to being conformed to the image of Christ. And allowing that to be, to cause us to be rooted. If we're going to be rooted and built up, we're going to have to sink our roots deep. We're going to draw our life from Him. And everything about Him, about Jesus, about Christ, that's where our life will come from. That's where our roots are going to be. We're going to be rooted in that. We're going to be built up in Him. My growth, maturity, my spiritual development is going to be totally based not in what I think, but in Him, what He thinks and what He says. You see, we don't get to just follow Him. If we're going to really be sold out, we don't get to follow Him our own way. You know, we're bought with a price. I am not my own. And I have to think about that for myself. Am I really serious about that? Am I really, truly sold out to Him? You know, I mean, did I, you know, am I haphazardly reading my Bible once in a while? You know, that's not going to be a really sold out, disciplined follower of Jesus, is it? That's going to be someone that's haphazard, and sometimes he's got the answer and sometimes he doesn't. But when we sell out to Him, when we give Him our life, when we say, Jesus, take that control, I want to be rooted in You. I want to be built up in who You are in me. I want that nature that You gave me to begin to develop and rise and come to a place where I am now approved of You, that You can allow me to be able to impart to those around me life, because my roots are in You. And all the life that's coming through me, it's not draining me because it's coming from You. My roots are deep. I've dug deep into Your Word. I've allowed Your Word to become life to me. Hallelujah. You know, and sometimes people say, well, yeah, I am rooted in Him. I don't need to be in church. Yes, you do. I mean, it was ministered this morning about the corporate anointing. There is something that takes place when all of us enter in that is powerful. And it can also bring others in. Or if you're having a weakness at that moment, it can bring you in. And you continue in Him. I want to be strengthened. Because one coal, how many know? You know, if you get a fire going and you got one piece of wood, You know, and once that goes out, what happens? The fire is gone. But if you keep piling logs on and logs on, that fire burns brighter and there's a greater heat and there's a greater light, isn't there? And as we allow that greater light that's in each of us, our part that we play, as Alan was saying today, whether it be in prayer or worship or meditating the Word of God, whatever part it is that He's pressing on you at this time in your life, in your walk with God, is going to cause us to have that establishment. We do need one another, and we do need to come to church. I mean, if we're really praying and seeking God, the Holy Spirit is going to witness that to you. You need the fellowship of the brethren. We do. I mean, in Acts it said they went from house to house. You know, they went eating and teaching. And they had fellowship one with another. You know, they were in fellowship with God, but in fellowship with each other. They were encouraging each other daily. Hallelujah. And the Bible talks about even as the day approaches, we should gather more. I'm not saying it has to always be a church service. We need to gather together as believers. Hallelujah. And we're to be what established in that faith. Jude 3 says what to earnestly contend for the faith, for that truth. Certain men had crept in, and they were leading men away from the faith. Jude, we can look at it real quick. We'll come back here to Colossians, I think. Verse 3, Beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We're to be established. We're so deeply rooted. It is almost impossible for anyone to dig you up. Has anybody ever tried? I've done this because I worked in landscape somewhere. You ever tried to dig out a shrub or a bush that's got the roots down in that ground? Some of the men are shaking their heads. Yeah, I tried. Believe me, it was hard work. You know, and you dug and you dug and you dug. And finally, you thought you dug enough. You hooked the chain on it and put it on the truck and it still didn't come out. So you had to get down there and dig some more. And sometimes you had to get down there and maybe cut the roots, you know. Get an axe out. Start chomping away. We want to be so rooted in Him. Established. It's almost impossible for anyone to dig you up. You know, as we've been taught, as we've been taught, it says, as you have been taught. That means somebody had to be teaching. In this case, Paul's teaching. Now, as you've been taught, just like I taught you, Pastor Dave said, as you've been taught, let's do those things that cause those roots to be so firmly planted, so established in Christ, that nothing can move us. And we talked a little bit about that this morning. The Word of God so indwelling us. It is an anchor to our soul, to our emotions, to the things that try to sway us. Because the devil comes to steal that word. And he'll use religious people sometimes to try to do it. That's not for today. You're crazy. Healing passed away and pretty soon they don't believe much of anything. Well, yeah, Jesus saved me just barely. No, He saved you to the uttermost. Complete and full, so great a salvation. To me, that's not a great salvation. You know, it's kind of like you got saved, now I hope you can make it through. That's kind of the way I hear it sometimes. But when God said it and we begin to understand the nature that we received from Him, in Christ, hallelujah, we're in Him, we're with Him, and He's in us. That's a strength. That means God lives in me and in you. God lives there. We're talking about the God of the universe, the one that created the stars and the sun and the moon, the earth. And He knows about everything. He knows all about you. He knows the tiniest cell that needs to change in your body. Hallelujah. He knows what gives you life. He knows what causes you to continue to live. And what's going to cause life is Him. See, sometimes we want to replace that life with something else. For some people, it might even be ministry. They're trying to gain an acceptance or they feel good because they're doing something for God. Instead of feeling good because He's my Father. Because He loves me and I'm complete in a relationship with Him. Then out of that relationship comes a flow of ministry. You see, Jesus said first in Mark 3, says, He called the disciples that they might be with Him. Then that He may send them forth to preach. But first that they might be with Him. Let me see if I can find that real quick. It's Mark chapter 3. I'm going to see if I can find that verse. If I can't, we'll just move on. But hallelujah, Jesus. What verse is that? I think it's, here it is, 14. Mark 3:14. I got a little dot right by it. Praise God. And He ordained. Tell all my secrets. He's just, I got little notes, and some of them are complete, but I haven't completed all of them. So. And He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, and that He might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. But first of all, He said, ordained 12. What? That they should be with Him. And the first place that we come is to be with Him. So that we become rooted in Him. And established in Him. In what He said. And become doers of His sayings. Amen. Hallelujah. Not what we think or what is good or what feels good. Verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. That's what I was just saying. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So we don't want to go after the things or the elements that the world goes after. We want to go after Christ. It says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10 says, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. So we're to be discipled, as Pastor Dave is doing, and Gary and so forth. I think they're doing a great job, you know, as far as helping us to be discipled into the image of Christ and not into the image of man or themselves. It's not about me or some man or some ministry, but it's about Jesus, amen, about Christ and who He is and His ability in us. And His power, the resurrection power, the new nature that came in, that raised us from death to life, translated us from darkness to light, from the power of the devil into the kingdom of God. That kingdom is now within you. And everything I need, hallelujah, is within me. My answers come from the inside out. When His word comes into me, then His word begins to come out of me. And the power of that word changes me. Because it's powerful. Because it's God-breathed. That means part of God lives inside of that word. Part of God lives in this word. And that word of God is our sure foundation. And that word of God is what we look to. To grow up into the fullness of the Godhead. Amen. To be complete in Him. So if I'm rooted and built up and established in the faith, I'm going to grow up into the completeness of Christ. And sometimes I think the church has taught us to be complacent and not complete. It's kind of like, well, that's the pastor's job. Let the pastor do it. He's here. I'm just here to help. You know, I'm just a helper. No, you're a son. You're an heir. You're a joiner. You have a part to play. And you need this word just like I need this word. We all need this word. Whatever part we play, the word of God has to become our first priority. And what God said begins to rule our life first. And we say, Lord, I'm choosing you over this world, the elements of this world. He may be a family member. Maybe they don't like what you believe. Well, we have to decide. Say, I have a family member. They didn't like what I believe. Well, your pastor, they came a few times here, and he talks an awful lot about tongues. I said, yes, he does. And so it came one time, they came to visit, and I think my wife had asked them if they want to receive, you know, the Holy Spirit. And they just kind of, you know, didn't really respond. But later on, they wanted to talk to us. And I says, well, this is what the Bible says. And we shared a few scriptures. Well, this is what the Bible says. You know, they're just, you know. I said, yes, but this is what, no, you just believe that. That's what they're, you know, your denomination. I said, no, this is what God said. This is the Bible. This is how the Bible shared. You know, I'm sharing you what the Bible says. You know, well, we just don't believe that. You know, I mean, they're not thinking about, they're telling me I don't believe the Bible, you know. But they're believing what? They were good disciples of a denomination or what those people, you know, or what some man told them, you know, and they said, this is true. And they believed it to such a degree, they got rooted in it. And they're not sure, you know, but see, I made the choice to believe what the Bible says. And when we believe what the Bible says, then we're going to get Bible results. And we're going to see Bible power, God's power. We're going to get God's results. The same results that Jesus had, we're going to receive. Because we're basing it upon what His Word said. And we come to a completeness in Him. So, I'm not condemning the church. I'm just saying, sometimes we've got to see where we are. You know, are we really sold out? Are we... deceiving our own selves, the Bible says. You know, it said that we're to be hearers of the Word, not just hearers, but doers of the Word of God. Amen? In James 1, I think it's 25. Now, let's look over there into James chapter 1. I think it's good to see and to put our... Sometimes we get... I rush into things sometimes, and I'm trying to learn to. The Lord's slowing me down a little bit in some things and speeding me up some others. Hallelujah. But James 1, let's start with 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto the man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. He's looking at himself. For he beholds himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, this perfect law of liberty that God has given us, and continues therein, he's going to continue, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. A blessing, he's going to be able to, what would be one blessing? Well, sometimes we think of the, you know, a lot of times people think of blessing. Oh, I'm so blessed, you know. They have a nice car and a nice house and they got food on the table and they got the best. You know, oh, that guy's really blessed. And they may have things in the natural. But blessing is not just natural. Don't you think it would be a blessing if you can discern between the voice of God, your own thinking, and the voice of the enemy? Hallelujah. Would that be a blessing to you to know those things? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank God. I know a tape series by a man named Pastor Dave Roberson. You know, it's available at daveroberson.org. You know, calling Distinguishing God's Voice. So God's looking not just at a natural blessing, but a spiritual blessing. It's a blessing that comes from within. And as we receive that spiritual blessing, the natural blessing is going to just come. I mean, it will come into it. I mean, that's what he said in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things that the Gentiles are seeking after is going to be added to you as well. Those things are going to come. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be, you know, a billionaire or a millionaire, but you're going to be blessed. You're going to have a full supply. You're going to have all that you need and money left over to give for many to come and many to go, right? Amen. You know, you're going to be able to be a blessing. But if we don't have an understanding of God, if we haven't received the spiritual blessing, then the natural blessing is not really going to mean a lot to us. Is it? Why? Because it can come and go. Natural blessings come and go all the time. People got, oh, I was rich last week. My wife divorced me and took all the money out of the bank. Now I have nothing. I'm starting over. I mean, it can happen in an instant. You know? Oh, I had millions of dollars. I made a bad investment. I'm broke. You know, I mean, money can come and go. It's fleeing. The things of this life are not stable, but God's word lives forever. It's a sure foundation. You know, and we can also hear from him. We hear from heaven. And we know God's plan when we become what? Doers of his word. And we become workmen. Not sitters, but we'd start doing his word and doing his sayings. And we become complete in him. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking at conforming to that image, the image of Christ. And it's going to happen line upon line, right? Precept by precept. Here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, verse 9 through 11. It says, let's go ahead and look at Isaiah 28, 9 through 11. God's method is not, sometimes for a while, I think it was going around the body of Christ, well, your spirit man knows everything, so yeah, you just know everything. Well, we do, but he also brings things to us line upon line. He teaches us. The spirit man it may know a lot of things. It's alive to God. And God knows everything. And God can bring it to us through our spirit. Our spirit's now alive to God. And all knowledge is available to us. But you know how many know? You know, God usually does not speak to me personally about anything about aircraft mechanics. I don't know anything about fixing airplanes. Well, why? I have no knowledge in that area. Now, he could tell me some things, but perhaps it would be things that I didn't understand because I had absolutely no knowledge. So he'd have to break it down, and it would take a long time probably for me to get it. I'm just giving an example. But other things that he may say to me that I have knowledge in. I know there was some things that he's told me before, and he said, I expected you to know what to do with the knowledge that you have. I said, oh, okay. Because I'm waiting for him to tell me every little, you know, that next detail. And he said, I was expecting you to know what to do because I gave you some knowledge. You already have some knowledge in that area. You knew what to do. I said, oh, okay. Because he was teaching me, though. It was a teaching principle. Line upon line, says here in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine or teaching? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It says verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. He's talking about here, You're going to begin to receive line upon line. What? For with stammering lips, with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that's coming. He's prophesying. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to become your teacher. He's going to be the revelator of the teaching and the things that I've already given you. And He's going to teach you line upon line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. It's not necessarily going to all come today, but I'm going to continue in Him. And God's going to continue to take me one step at a time if I'll choose to be a sold out one. I'll get on that path that's going to take me through the process to become fully complete, built up, rooted, established, and fully complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! That's good news. Glory to God. And so we should read the Bible with that intent, you know, line upon line, precept by precept, knowing that, hey, here's where, as Pastor Dave taught us, be praying in the Spirit, reading through maybe Matthew or John or 1 John or Ephesians that we talked about. Take a book and just read it several times over, asking the Holy Spirit, where is the subject beginning? Where is it ending, Lord? And as we continue to pray, continue, He'll show us. And then as when we learn, hey, this chapter to this chapter, hey, this is one subject. 14 through 17, 10, you know, this is one subject. And then we may read that one subject over and over again, till it becomes a part of us. And no man, nobody, not a soul, the devil or anybody else can take it from us. Because it's a part of us. It lives in us. I think that's why they wanted to kill Jesus, because they know they couldn't take anything from Him. Hallelujah. And the devil, but the devil couldn't just kill Him, could he? Several times they were going to do it, He walked through the midst of them. He didn't fear any evil, and He didn't fear man. We can come to that place where the Word of God is alive. So alive, and as we read the Bible with that intent to see line upon line, precept by precept. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Hallelujah. I think I'm sharing all my scriptures I was going to go to this morning. I don't know. But 2 Timothy 3. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Let's start in 16. 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And this process works for everybody. Amen. It'll work for any person that will apply it in their life. Isn't that awesome? You can know Him just like Jesus knows God, the Father. Jesus said that the same glory that's in me, Father, may be in them. That same nature that I have, I want in them. That same power that I walk in lives in them. So on the inside of us, that same power resides, that resurrection life. So that when we lay hands on the sick, He's laying hands on the sick. When He's speaking the truth, when we're speaking that truth, He's speaking the truth. Because it's His truth. And He says, these signs are going to follow those that believe in My name. What are they going to follow? What are they doing? They're following His word, what He already said, what He told us to do. When we follow that, then the signs are going to follow us. Hallelujah. It's just going to be a natural outflow of what He's placed within us. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when we look at that, you know, we're to study. It's not, the word study is not just a casual looking at or a casual reading, but it involves a little bit of work and sweat. Sometimes there's a little bit of, I'm not sure where it says that, so I think it's in Ecclesiastes, but it says that much study is wearisome. So we need to think about it. You know, we couldn't say we studied all these scriptures tonight. We looked at them, and we applied certain truths to our life, but we didn't really study them. You know, to study is to go in, to dig deep. Jesus says, we've got to dig deep into the and lay that, let that foundation, you know, let those roots go down. How many know sometimes if you got a tree or something, you know, or a plant, you know, you got to kind of loosen that soil around there so those roots can get a little deeper. Amen. And if you don't put any water on it, what's going to happen to the tree? It's going to die, right? If it doesn't get any water. So you put a little extra water, and then maybe you fertilize it, right? You put some fertilizer on it. Why? Because it needs nutrients. And the Word of God begins to feed us. We get our nutrients from the life of Christ, the life of His Word, which flows within us. Hallelujah. So that's the foundation that we have to have, is His Word. And we'd be that workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. If we're a workman, we're doing something, right? We're not just sitting here. He says, even if you're here praying, you're not just sitting here, you're praying, you're doing something, you're worshiping, you're seeking after God. Hallelujah. You know what? That is part of being a workman. That is part of our study, because the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. And He is helping us, and He's explaining the Word to us. And then as we read it so many times, we kind of got an idea of what certain words mean, and then we may look them up. Say, oh yeah, that's what I thought it meant. That confirms to me, Lord. You know, that shows me. Yeah, hey, that's what it meant. You're right. Wow, God, You're right all along. You know, amazing. You know, because the Holy Spirit understands, and He makes it alive in us because we've marinated in the Word of God. We allowed it to come within us to such a degree that it became life, that it was life-giving, that it was real to us. We were living, like Gary says, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus and what He's doing and where He's walking, and we can smell it, and we can feel the sand blowing in the air, and we can live with Him, with the 12 disciples, and they're gathering together, and then the multitude, and we see Jesus going off by Himself in the early morning of the day, and we begin to visualize what that was and how He lived. And the miracles that just happened. Because people went out, you know, He didn't go running after them. They came looking for Him. When people start coming looking for you, hallelujah, good news. If miracles are flowing like water, they'll come looking for you. Please pray for me. Are you one of those believers? You know, those born again believer, right? Do you pray in tongues? Yes. You really believe, right? Yeah. You're the one I heard about. Miracles are coming from. Will you pray for me? I had a small... we were having calling in a loss one night, and it was like I saw a room, like all the people, like this room, you know, and all the people were there, and it just... There was a lot of people in wheelchairs and all kinds of sicknesses and things. But people were running around, and sometimes they would come up to people, are you one of those believers? In other words, it seemed like there was a difference between those that were following Him, but those that really believed it was possible and that were getting the results. But what would happen is they would get that miracle, and it seemed like people would, it looked like mass chaos to me. Because it was like somebody here got a miracle and they jumped out of the wheelchair and they're running around. As they ran around, the power of God hit somebody else and they jumped out of the wheelchair and ran around, and miracles took place, and it was just total chaos. Everybody's getting healed. And then the presence of God would come. And there was a peace and a silence and a holiness and an awesome reverence to the Father and a glorifying of God that was so powerful and so awesome. And I don't know exactly why. Well, I'm sure not, because we're in calling in a loss. But it was so real. You know, it seemed so alive. And people were so excited. But sometimes they were asking, are you one of those believers who really believes? who's rooted in Him, who's established in Him, who has given Himself to be a sold out one that is complete in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's go to 1 Peter real quick, just 2:1-2. He says to earnestly, or to desire, excuse me, but I guess I put that in there, but it just says desire, the sincere milk of God's Word, that we can grow thereby. 1 Peter 2. And I'm not any teaching anything deep here tonight. But at the same time, we take the Word of God when it becomes real to us. Because the Word of God is not just, it's alive. It's more than just real, it's living. It is Him. It is part of God. Hallelujah. It's God breathed. Part of God lives in that Word that He said. Word of desire, it says, 1 Peter 2:1-2 says, therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes. How many know? Anybody ever see anything? You know, lay aside what? All malice, all the guile, hypocrisies, all envies. Anybody seen any envies or evil speaking around the church? You know? Hallelujah. No. We're changing that. Amen. It says put that off. You know, not of the corruptible seed, or of the incorruptible. Amen. And as newborn babes, it says desire, this is still milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And then third verse just says, if so be you tasted that the Lord is gracious. Isn't He so gracious? To take us line upon line, precept by precept, cause us to be rooted, cause us to be established, causing us to be complete in Him. When His Word, when we hunger and thirst, and we desire, and we have the Word of God on the inside of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to stop right there. Hallelujah. We're complete in Him. Glory. Hallelujah. We're getting rooted. What's that process? It's that decision that we make to enter into that process, to allow Him to do it. And those things are outlined a lot on daveroberson.org. There's some teachings there about praying in the Holy Spirit, how to have a prayer life, you know, how to develop that prayer life, praying in tongues, you know, tongues for the believer is a beautiful start. Listen to it. Allow those tongues that He gave to pray a perfect prayer through you, to allow you to take your life into the very mind of God, to the very perfect plan that He established for you before the foundation of the world. Who could think of a better plan? Certainly not us. Amen. Hallelujah. We were lost and undone, but He came and found us and changed us. And cause us to be made like Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm getting excited again. Praise God. Got excited last week, didn't I? But His Word, it just brings life. Such life to us. When we're doers of it, then we get into the, like Alan talked about today, we're not void of experiencing God. We experience His love. We experience that acceptance. We experience the peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. That's what begins to take place. And it feeds us. This Word will feed us. So let's make a decision this week. Let's say, hey, on purpose, Lord, you know, choose that book. I'm going to stick with it for at least 30 days. Lord, I'm going to read it every day, once a day, or maybe twice a day, whatever time you have. And I'm going to stick with it, Lord. Maybe you didn't stick with it last time, but this time I'm going to stick with it, Lord. I want to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read Ephesians, or I'm going to read 1 John. I'm going to read whatever book the Holy Spirit is leading you to. And if you can't think of one, just start with 1 John, you know, or maybe 2 John. It's just one chapter. It'll only take you about 2 or 3 minutes to read it. If you read that every day, that would be one book that you got through 30 times. And your mind is getting equipped for day and night meditation. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's decide to let the Word of God abide in us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done.